now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, and who on earth are you?
No idea. My name badge has fallen off, but then who are you?
I don't know, but this is Shout Out. I'm coming on the show today.
Queer Vision.
Films and More, Lucy will be live in the studio.
And Jess Kemp.
Straight off stage, she will be live right on the end of the phone.
All coming today with me, Steph Barnett, and him, whoever he is.
Right here on Shout Out. So who am I? I don't know.
I don't know. Never seen you before in my life.
Who are you?
I'm not. I'm kind of just watching this.
What
I know
you
who you are.
Don't get involved, Lucy.
Okay, all right.
Hello, Lucy. How
Hello,
are you?
You're Andy.
I am Andy.
And that's Steph. Hi.
So it's an old age thing.
Ah, right, okay.
I'm trying to make her feel at home, so...
Steph, she's not a day over 47.
No. 47? No.
No. Maybe a few years over.
So, anyway, hello, Lucy. We haven't had you in for ages.
Yeah, it's been, it's been a time, hasn't it?
Mm,
not been very good, but
so
hey,
everything's
good to be back. Yeah, no, just really, really busy and just lots going on, and it's... It's really always good to come back.
Year.
Always good to come back to Shout Out. So hoping to come back a bit more.
And lots going on in the Queer Vision world. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're just in the process of putting the final touches to the Pride programming. So,
there will be people listening who've never heard of Queer Vision.
Yes.
So give us, for those that haven't.
Oh, right, okay.
Give us an idea. What is Queer Vision?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so Queer Vision is it's a subset of the Bristol Pride Festival, but it doesn't mean that we just happen in Pride. We do LGBT themed film programming throughout the year, and our main showcase is the Pride programming, all of which takes place in the Watershed throughout Pride Week, and there will also be one-off specials throughout the year. We also do a couple of competitions, one of which I'll come on to in a minute, and we've also got a couple of other affiliations with other charities that want to explore more intersectionality in LGBT film.
It's grown massively, hasn't it? Because it did start off as just being films in the week of Pride, wasn't
it? Did,
it?
Yeah.
It's been so successful, it's now kind
it's
of
gone
like,
really
all
well.
Year round.
Well, I mean, and I've got to really thank the Watershed for that. They've been really, really good at getting behind it and really, really, you know, helping promote sort of, you know, LGBT-themed programming. And, right. You know, they've been excellent partners to Queer Vision and Bristol Pride.
The last film I saw there was the Tom of Finland one.
Oh, yeah, no, great
brilliant.
One. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah,
really
great. Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone came out in their leathers.
Oh, fantastic.
They even had a cardboard cutout thing that you could actually stand beside.
Brilliant.
It was really cool.
No, it is. Well, yeah, absolutely. He's a complete icon, isn't he?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Fascinating film as well, I have to say.
I bet.
I think I saw Milk as part of...
Oh, almost certainly, yeah.
Queer Vision a while ago.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating story as well, because of course we've met... Is it Harvey, his name, the nephew?
Yes,
Harvey
he's
Milk.
Been on the show a couple of times.
And most recently, we had a showing of A Fantastic Woman, which is a really amazing film, and there's also been...
Have you done Pride yet?
The film
movie,
Pride?
Yeah.
No, we haven't. I think the most recent one was 120 BPM, the French HIV and AIDS activism film.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was shown last month in the Watershed. Right. Really, really good.
So did you get involved with the picking? Do you get to help pick them?
I am but a mere minion at the moment, and I mean, sort of a bit like Shout Out. I help out where I can. So I've come to sort of, you know, spread the message of Queer Vision and what we're trying to do. So we're also involved in a countrywide queer film network. So we have affiliations with all the other LGBT and queer film-themed film festivals around the UK, and kind of have a sort of exchange of ideas and sort of we're trying to sort of take it national. That was our founder Jane who sort of put that together, and they're really active. So
I'm sure we'll catch up with Jane when we're at Pride itself this year.
She'll be there.
She's lovely.
But yeah, so like Bristol isn't the only place, you know. So Leeds and Liverpool and London have all got really really good thriving. Brighton as well. I've got really good thriving LGBT sort of film festival scenes that are
whenever I've been to something that's Queer Vision, it's always horrendously packed. I don't know if it's just because it's ones I really like and everyone else likes them, but they always seem to sell very well.
Yeah, they do. We try to make sure that we get not just the films that everybody wants to go see, but also try and give a chance for the films that people might not necessarily be aware of, and give a chance for people to see films that they might not be aware of, which is why last year we ran the Best of British Shorts competition, and we started it again this year.
Oh, have you? Fair.
Yes.
Because I came and saw the first load of shorts.
Yeah.
And they're all like 5-7 minute long type things.
Yeah, a few weeks back, we had some students in, didn't we? They were making a 7 minute.
Oh, have they entered, have
movie?
They?
So we told them about Queer Vision.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know, so
right.
We let them know. So.
If they're listening today, shall I tell you about the competition?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
How it started. So it started last year, and it was run during Pride, and it was really, really successful. We got an amazing response. We got some really, really high quality entries, and it was really hard trying to pick, you know, just an hour and a half's worth of just such a diverse program. It was really well, and then the show itself sold out, and then the winner of that prize was then selected to go on into the Iris Prize short films, which is sort of shorthand for the gay short film Oscars, really.
Right.
It's a really, really prestigious competition. So to be chosen again, to be confirmed again as a feeder festival, as it were, for the Iris Prize is a really good thing. And we've managed to secure that again for this year.
Wow. Good.
Yeah. So we're running the competition again this year, and we're still open for entries. So
if you're listening over in UE.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, I can explain the format if you like.
Yeah. Okay.
So the criteria for entry is I really like this competition. the competition is called Best of British, and it is to try and attract homegrown British or currently residing in Britain talent. So the criteria are, if you are from Britain, or if you've been living in Britain for, you know, during the last 5 years, then, you know, you are eligible to put a film in, and it doesn't have to be a new one. As long as you made it in the last 2 or 3 years, it's eligible for entry into the competition. People who make films like this are very aware of a website called Film Freeway, where you can submit short films for competition.
Right.
And if you go on to Film Freeway and look for Queer Vision Best of British, then our entry point is on that website for submission of your film.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we will be judging them, and the best 6 or 7 get selected for showing at Pride. And then the winner of those 6 or 7 will go forward to Iris. So,
amazing.
So it's worth doing, absolutely, isn't it?
It's definitely worth doing. And I mean, last year it was a homegrown winner who went through. So the filmmaker was, they were a part of Freedom Youth. And they actually made the winning film, and that went forward into the Iris Prize. So it was really good. And we got films from all over. And you know, some of the filmmakers came down when we had the showing, and that was really, really great. So even if maybe making short films isn't your thing, if you can get a ticket to the showing, there's a really good chance that, you know, some of the filmmakers would come, because they definitely came last year, and there was a chance to chat to them in the bar afterwards. So it was a really, really good night. So we're really hoping to build on it.
I think what's good about the Queer Vision is a lot of the times they have a panel, don't they, after the movies, and really interesting.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. We're trying to keep going for that. We're always keen to have panel hosts. So if anybody's got a burning idea, if anyone's got a burning desire to host a panel or talk on a panel, we'll always be really happy to hear from people, because I think, as Darren says, I think it's been him for the last 3 times, and he says there's only so many times he can get up and talk about a film. But we're always really happy if people want to like sort of help out hosting panels. But yeah, if we can tie our films into like a networking event or something, then we really try and make it slightly more event cinema. But Bristol's just such a great... Bristol is just such a great environment for film festivals. Yes. That you know,
yeah, and the Waterfield is a big, but there's quite a lot of like small cinemas
huge,
around, isn't there? So
yeah, there is. There's the Cube, and we're trying to. I say this now. We're looking at trying to move into different venues. We've managed to do that through some partnership affiliates with other programs that have been showing our films as part of their nights,
right.
And we're trying to do more of that, and we're trying to sort of bring LGBT cinema to different communities in the city, as
good.
Opposed to the Watershed
good.
Set, who are lovely people but are just one part of Bristol.
Yeah, it's a lovely. I do like the Watershed. It's a really nice venue. So
yeah.
And lovely areas.
Yeah,
the waterfront's amazing.
And I've just got to say again and again, they're so good to us.
Yeah.
We really couldn't be where we are without Watershed and Bristol Pride as well,
yeah.
Because you know.
But of course,
we are an affiliate of Bristol Pride.
So when is the next lot of just normal films, because you do slots throughout the year, don't you? I know we've got the Bristol Pride one. Is there any before then?
At the moment,
May,
at the moment we're focusing on Pride programming,
right.
And also judging for the Best of British. So that's our focus really up until July, and then we'll take stock and see where to go next week. So you know, I would say fingers crossed for the July programme and the Best of British. It should be really, really good.
Yeah, we're dying to hear about it. You're not quite there with the planning yet, we know. So
we haven't quite finalised all the details, but I can confirm that submissions for the competition end. The deadline is 15th of May, so you've got a couple of weeks.
Ooh,
so
not long.
Yeah, get in there. Get onto Film Freeway, Queer Vision, Best of British, and get your film in. And then once submissions end, we'll be judging... selecting the final showings and the winner, of course. So,
yeah.
So if we get you back in June,
I hope you know by June.
Well, no.
Well, as in the films that you'll have on, or will you know who's been final, or are you saving that for?
Yeah, we'll probably save the winner for slightly more. We'll probably announce the winner a little bit closer to the time when they're actually showing.
But you know the film lineup by that point.
We
you?
Should hopefully know the film lineup by June. So yeah, if you get us back in June, we should be able to tell
Excellent.
You what's coming up. And you know, I mean, last year wasn't such a good showing, and so we're really excited, hopefully, to go bigger and better this year.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of the short films as well?
Oh no, I absolutely love them. And the thing about short films is it's like having a little pick and mix bag, you know. If
you get those ones where you watch it and it, like, because it's a short film, it finishes like, no, I want to know more. What happens next?
That's the mark of a good film, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
You know, keeps you hooked.
Yeah.
But yeah, the great thing about shorts programming, it's not something that people will traditionally go see, because, you know, people will go to see a film.
Yeah.
But the great thing I find with shorts is you never know what you're going to get.
No.
And you could
and you can
be,
tell a lot in that little bit of time.
Oh yeah, you? There's so many talented filmmakers working in shorts today, you know, and it's a great way to get started. But even if one film doesn't quite gel with you, it's over in 5 minutes, and then you're on to the next, and the next one might be brilliant, you know. So it's a really good mixed bag of, you know, trying to see what you have. And I do like shorts programming. So it doesn't always get the love that it needs in Footfall, I will be honest with you, but Best of British always does really well.
If you're listening, go see them.
Yeah, go see
them. They are well worth it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, when we announce our programming, there will be shorts in there, and you know, they're absolutely worth people's time, because it keeps you, it allows you to see, you know, who the next up and coming filmmakers are, because that's where a lot of people get their start. So.
Right, one more time. How do the people get in touch if they want to actually put their movie forward?
We are on Film Freeway, and if you go to Film Freeway and look for Queer Vision, Best of British, that is where our film submission point is. All the criteria for entry are there, as well as the format that it needs to be submitted in. So go on there. I'm not the technical brains of Queer Vision, that's Steve, so I won't try and ruin things by saying things I don't know about. But if you go onto Film Freeway, look for Queer Vision, Best of British, it's all there. And yeah, you've got until 15th of May to get your submissions in, so last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, just under 13 days.
Yeah, really not much time.
No.
Thanks for coming in, Lucy.
No problem.
It's lovely to see you again as well.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll see a bit more of you.
Yeah, no, I want to come back. I want to come back, yeah. I will come back.
So. Cool. Okay. Do stay with us. If you're listening and you're like, oh, I haven't got a pen or something because I'm on a podcast, but make sure we put all the details up on the website.
They will go on the website
as well, so that you can get them if you go find the podcast on there. They'll all be there. So, get your entries in soon and stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out.
When I heard that sound, when the walls came down, I was thinking about you, about you. When my skin grows old, when my breath runs cold, I'll be thinking about you, about you. Seconds from my heart, a bullet from the door, helpless I surrender, shackled by your love. Holding me like this, poison on your lips. Only when it's over, the silence hits so hard. Cause it was almost love, it was almost love. It was almost love, it was almost love. When I heard that sound, almost love, it was almost. We bleed ourselves in vain. How tragic is this game? Turn around, I'm holding on to someone, but the love's gone. Carrying the load with wings that feel like stone. Knowing that we nearly fell, so far now it's hard to tell. Yeah, we came so close, it was almost love. It was almost love, it was almost love. When I reached out for your hand when the walls were caving in, but I see you on the other side. We can try all over again. When I
Skin by Rag and Bone Man. I love that track. You really like that one too, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a really, really nice kind
it
of...
It moves
real
my
kind
soul.
Of, yeah, it's just one you just want to, like, sing along to really, really loudly, don't you? It's,
we were.
Yeah.
Luckily for the listeners, with the mics down.
There's dogs howling outside now.
Thanks, Tara.
You're welcome.
Hello, Tara and Terry.
Terry and Tara,
Terry. Hey. Yeah.
Titi. Yeah, that's nearly as bad as last week.
So, yes, yes, I had a lot of comments about your your nipplage last week.
Yes, my nippledom. Nipplegate.
Oh, dear.
Carl literally across the office went, I can't believe she just said that. Which then, of course, meant he had to explain to everyone in the office what it was you just did.
That no, I didn't do anything.
What you said. Which, of course, out of context of not listening to the show, being blurted across the office talking about your nipples really did not sound right.
Me too.
Anyway, if you want to know what we're talking about, go listen to last week's podcast, because it was enough to flummox me and make me completely speechless, I think.
It did. For the first time ever, my radio husband was speechless.
It was good, still. So, anyway, how are you both? Sorry.
Very well, thank you.
Not too bad. Got a cough, but
got a cough. Yeah, there seems to be lots of throat infections.
There are at the moment.
So,
lots of people being ill.
Can I just say to everyone that if you're concerned and you think the show's a bit upside down, yes, it is.
Oh, what, you mean the order?
The order. We've had to change the order around to fit some things in, so hence things aren't like they normally are.
We should shake it up every now and again anyway. Just
did it last week as well.
Yeah.
It's becoming a habit.
Yeah, well, that was slightly different, but I've kind of forgot a track, so I just went, new team, jump in. So, and in total professional style, they did. It was really good. And just raced in, and Matthew went straight on the microphone, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you've bailed us out a few times, I think, over the years, haven't you, Terry? Just jumping in and...
Yes, talking nonsense about something, yes, my forte.
If the audience don't notice, it's absolutely fine.
As long as there's no dead air going.
We've just finished watching the second series of Sense8 again, the third time we've watched Sense8 now, preparing ourselves for June the 8th.
I haven't seen a single one.
Well, I'm an addict. I could watch it over and over again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll tell you one thing that is still staying in the show, and that is our My Five segment, which is... And if you're listening and you think you could genuinely tell a story, personal or something, not business-related, I suppose, but, well, charity, if you don't mind that kind of thing, don't we?
Yeah.
A bit like we've got Brigstow about to do one, and we've had some, I think...
Personal
next,
My
next
Fives.
Week, my one's coming out. The week
if
after.
You've stuck a bit to know what 5 minutes is, it's about 1,000 words. So if you write 1,000 weird dang from the heart and then talk to your phone or if you have a portable recording device such as a Zoom then just send them off as an MP3.
You can email them studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt
I call real community radio, isn't it? That's real access radio, making, giving you the chance to speak directly.
Terry.
To giving the chance to speak directly to,
or should I say, all aerials?
Access all aerials. Yes. Indeed.
So, would it be better to do just more than 5 minutes, so it could be edited slightly? If there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, ideally, if it's 5 minutes, we'll do it unedited. Right.
We don't like touching personal stuff that belongs to people.
But yes, this week the team from Brigstow are back again, so have a listen to this.
My Five on Shoutout.
Hi, so we're back with the third edition of the Brigstow Five.
Hello, everyone.
I'm here with, I'm Polly, and I'm here with Mr. Alid Osborne.
And I'm Alid, and I'm here with Miss Polly, the HIV's answer to Michelle and Barack Obama.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
We just want to start off today by saying, so when we're recording this, it's International Day of Lesbian Visibility. So we just want to give a big shout out to all of the lesbian, bi and queer women allies of the HIV movement. And we also want to remind you that there are lesbian women living with HIV worldwide. We don't often talk about that.
But there are.
There are, yeah.
Lots of them.
Yeah, exactly. And they...
So shout out to you, girl.
Holla. So we're going to focus... Last month, we focused on HIV testing. We spoke a bit with Alid about his experience of being tested and told you where you could get tested. And this week, we're going to talk about medication.
Yeah.
And in particular, starting your journey with HIV medication.
Yes.
So what was that like for you?
I, at the time, was very much coming from a place of wanting to start them. I really wanted to start them. I knew what they could do for me. I knew that as soon as I started taking my meds, I would become undetectable. And that in itself for me to enable me to continue sexual relationships or casual relationships or personal long-term relationships was a really big thing in my head that I still wanted to do by being HIV positive. So meds for me was a positive, but it's not like that for everyone.
Yeah.
And there are so much things that happen when you start meds.
Because it can be quite a thing for some people, can't it? It's like you're engaging with this lifelong journey of taking HIV medication every day.
It is a daily
reminder. It's a big change.
Yeah, it's a daily reminder of the fact, and you can't hide from the fact, it's a daily reminder that you're living with this condition that is still so heavily stigmatized.
Yeah.
And you can't not take your meds.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to. And there is no real choice there. The choice comes with what types of treatment programs you decide to take. But fundamentally, we need our meds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really important, isn't it? All that adherence and etc.
It's massively important, the adherence. And if you miss your adherence and you regularly miss your doses, you can... It's an increased risk of becoming resistant to the meds, which then if you end up becoming resistant to various types, you are limiting the treatments available to you. So it is really important. And these are all things that you should, or people need to think about with meds. You know, are you in a place where you can take them? Are you in a safe space where you can store your meds safely without them getting damaged? Are you in a place where you can get your meds delivered, or do you have access to be able to go to the pharmacy or stick around at clinic to pick up those meds and take them with you? For example, as well, you know, we know that some meds exacerbate mental health problems.
Yeah, I was going to talk about side effects, because some of them, especially when you first start taking them, can have quite severe side effects, can't they? And obviously, you know, people are in touch with people at clinic and stuff about this. It's important to obviously talk to your doctors and stuff. But, I mean, you've just mentioned mental health side effects.
Yeah, and it is, you know, your doctors and your clinicians around you will be keeping an eye on that. But it is quite scary if you're having an adverse reaction at, say, midnight or 11 p.m. and your clinic have gone home for the day.
Yeah.
So it is just to be mindful of them. And there are a lot of side effects. You know, various people suffer from, say, night terrors, diarrhea and vomiting, night sweats. And like I said, some of them can exacerbate any pre-existing mental health conditions. And you don't even need to be actively having or suffering with a mental health condition. You could be feeling absolutely fine, but it can just exacerbate anything that could be there. So you've got this newly diagnosed person starting meds for the first time. So they're already anxious or feeling some sort of level of anxiety because they've been newly diagnosed, and then they start these treatments, and that can make them feel anxious because of the side effects. But it is then down to the clinicians and the support around you to decide, well, is it your mental health condition that is increasing your anxiety, or is it the meds, or is it just the moment of time that you're in?
Yeah. I think as an HIV organization, we think that things like peer support and newly diagnosed groups around that time where you're, you know, starting to get used to your medication for the first time and you're working that stuff out is really key.
It is
to
vital.
Have that kind of psychosocial support alongside that kind of medical stuff. So
yeah.
If anyone is listening who's been, you know, recently diagnosed and is concerned about this stuff, like, you know, get in touch with us, because we've got some experience in supporting you around this.
And
you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah, no, and Brigstow is an open door. And, the amount of knowledge that they have, whether it's staff or whether it's from the volunteers, from the peer mentors, we are all there. We've all been through it. And we can definitely help support you through that time and talk about the things that you may need to have an awareness of.
Yeah. So this isn't the last thing we'll say on meds. I think that next month we're actually going to do a little bit more on the kind of biology of them and kind of how they work in your body. So if you're interested in hearing that, do tune in. I think we're just going to finish today by saying that Alid and I yesterday were at this absolutely brilliant event with Proud Bristol. So if you're a professional LGBT person living in or around Bristol, look them up. But we were there doing a presentation and in kind of engaging the community, and it was just great. So if you work for an organisation and would like to get us in, would like to get more involved, then just let us know.
Or even if you have an LGBT plus staff network in your workplace and you would like us to come in and talk about Brigstow and the services we offer, then please do get in touch. We are more than open to go anywhere that wants us. We are more than grateful.
So give us a shout if that's what you want to do, guys. All right, it's been wonderful this evening, and until next month.
Thank you very much for listening. See you next month.
Bye.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Imagine Dragons and Believer. I think I played Imagine Dragons' new one last week, actually. I do like them, though. So, sorry.
Very good.
So, do you
very
like... is it your cup of tea?
It's yes, it's quite nice, isn't it? Yes. Quite diverting.
It was in the hit parade.
Is it going well in the hit parade, is it? We've lots of airplay on the wireless.
On the wireless. Does that mean a mobile phone these days? I suppose it kind of does.
I suppose it does. Kids don't get Top of the Pops, you know? I remember Top of the Pops. It was the beyond end of
it. It was.
Top of the Pops.
It was so important, wasn't it, to watch Top of the Pops?
Well, it's the
longest running music show in the world.
Yeah. Was it? Really?
And all those icons that were kind of, you know, not quite straight or not quite this. You know, it was, you know, that for somebody it was brought up on the sticks, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. Really. I mean, a lot of people say that David Bowie, when he first appeared on Top of the Pops, and Boy George and Culture Club and people like that, actually made a real impact on young people's lives coming out and so on. So, yeah.
Mm. Talking of people coming out and interesting things happening, Monday, Tuesday, Channel 4, Genderquake.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. It's a two-part TV programme. It's some of the brief from Channel 4, though there have always been transgender people, awareness of gender fluidity has exploded into public consciousness in recent years, with increasing number of young people feeling less tethered to their gender than they were born into, and gender roles expected of them.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's going to explore gender identity.
Yeah, so they're putting a load of people into a house.
Is that like they did Channel 4? What's the name of the programme they did a few years ago?
Trans. I couldn't watch it at the time. I really struggled with that one.
We actually interviewed one of them.
There's 11 of them.
It was fascinating. And what was... I'm not sure. I don't think... I mean, talking to a lot of people I know who are trans, and at the time as well, the feedback we were getting into the show was it didn't portray things wonderfully, but what it did do was highlight the fact that we weren't talking about it really at all. It did have that kind of, you know,
got people talking.
So.
I wonder why socially, what's changed that all of a sudden gender fluidity and trans issues have, as you say, exploded? Because I mean, obviously, the LGBT community have been aware. I think that's it.
It's been a big driver of it. You can talk, you can be more free, you can find out things quicker. I think we just are learning more.
That was what I was going to say, that in my book, that's what's changed.
It's not just that, though, but when you're behind a screen and playing a computer game, you can choose your gender, and there's all that going on as well. So,
technology.
I think there's more confidence with the youth around the world.
I think
the youth. They feel that sometimes they don't want to be put in a box of either a binary gender.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
Anyway, should we find out what is going on in the land of news at the moment?
More than welcome. Yes. So.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 3rd of May.
Treadwell's Bookshop is a treasure trove of esoteric knowledge in London. It's not only an independent bookstore, but also specialises in witchcraft, paganism and earth-based religions such as voodoo, or to give it its correct title, voodan. These spiritual paths have a strong reputation for women and gay friendliness, but Treadwell's notes, modern witchcraft is too often associated with the men who were willing to make the most noise and throw themselves into the limelight. So to rectify the situation, the bookshop is offering 4 of the most classic feminist texts on witchcraft as a bundle for £40. The titles include Doreen Valiente's Natural Magic and Dancing with Witches by Lois Bourne. You can visit the Treadwell's website, London, if you want to take advantage of this offer.
The first woman to be convicted under new laws against domestic violence has been jailed for 7.5 years. A court heard that over a period of some years, Jordan Worth mentally and physically tortured her male partner, stabbing him and leaving burn marks which would leave permanent scarring. Neighbours reported seeing the woman with weapons and hearing the pleas of her partner as she attacked him. Worth was also served with a permanent injunction preventing her from ever going near her partner.
Never one to mangle his words, Stephen Patrick Morrissey has again been in the news for controversial comments made, this time on the internet. Now, younger people may well ask who Mr. Morrissey is. Well, he's a singer and artist who once fronted The Smiths, considered the middle 1980s most successful indie band. Even then, he was no stranger to controversy. And in the last 25 years, he's made many bizarre pronouncements. And he's now been back in the news again after he tweeted his support for a small right-wing party called For Britain. Mr. Morrissey has been summarised by journalists as a professional refusenik who is just irritated by many aspects of modern living. Two things have remained consistent throughout his career, however, which are the many references to gay male subcultures in his writing and lyrics, and his commitment to animal rights. Mr. Morrissey is a vegan and supporter of animal liberation campaigns.
Kiss FM has launched a series of new channels on its digital online platform. The radio station, which took over the West Country licences previously held by Galaxy and Vibe 101, is, according to surveys, very popular amongst young gay, trans and gender non-binary people. With its pulsing rhythms and non-stop music policy, Kiss started broadcasting in 1985 as one of the capital's many land-based pirate stations at this time. Despite its illegality, it became known as a smooth and professional operation, and in April 1990, the station was granted a licence to broadcast legally to London. With the rollout of digital radio, it has increased its coverage area. Now, it has added Kiss Jams and Kiss Grime to its portfolio of streams on the internet, designed to provide more specialist programming than the main outlet.
The Liberal Democrats LGBT group, sometimes known by its old acronym of DELGA, is amongst those organisations who have sharply criticised the web portal Mumsnet, alleging that it has become a homepage of anti-transgender and general anti-LGBT bigotry. The website had already earned some criticism in the past for its anti-paedophilia articles, which were considered as pretext for homophobic prejudice by some people. Now, according to an investigation by the gay news wire Pink News, the platform has become a zone of preferred operation for a group of extreme separatist feminists who call themselves TERFs. Using Mumsnet, they have propagated all manner of anti-transgender theories.
BCM, BCFM and Eugema Radio in Bristol are joining forces this May with one of the granddaddies of community radio in the city. Internet station Passion Radio Bristol
based at Hamilton House on Stokes Croft, began official streaming in 1998, but its history goes back further to the heyday of land-based pirates radio in the city. On Saturday, the 5th of May, the station welcomes top female talent to a special ladies' night of reggae and soul at Lebec Tavern on Stapleton Road. The night is for women over the age of 30, and there will be an opportunity for budding DJs to have a go on the decks. For full information, dress code and damage, please visit passionrb.com and follow links to their Facebook page.
LGBT Conservatives, the lobby group which began life as the Tory campaign for homosexual equality, reports that the Prime Minister, Theresa May, has spoken out in no uncertain terms on homophobia in the Commonwealth, an issue which has been the subject of intense campaigning by activists, including Peter Tatchell. Mrs. May said, "No one should face prejudice or discrimination because of who they love."
"It was a brave attempt at having a media outlet with total free speech on any subject, with nothing to taboo and no view above criticism. But the downside of free for all has now led to the closure of a much-hyped internet broadcasting station, Radar Radio, amid accusations of sexual assault, stealing of ideas from black urban culture and general misogyny. Radar Radio was a London-based venture opened in 2014 and managed by the son of the boss of Sports Direct, who said that the new channel would not mind swearing, profanity and shy away from any issue. It would instead be a melting pot of exciting music talent. However, the station has now gone offline after sharp criticism and resignations. Posse Palace, the queer feminist club, night and resident at the station, quit first with a statement saying, "Radar Radio, tokenised women, feminism, queer and trans culture and black and all other people of colour for capitalist purposes."
For these news stories and more, you can check out our excellent website, which is shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Tara.
And Terry.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Right, that was not Terry singing.
Is that what you think I sound like?
Not at all, Terry.
It's too good for you.
Absolutely. Was that really F sharp?
I think it probably it was, actually. Yeah.
Very good.
That was very clever. Very funny.
Yeah. Now, at the moment, we're calling Jess Kemp, who's just come off stage of doing a gig. Have we lost the...
I'm afraid we've lost it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I will try and get it back.
Okay. Now, Jess is a 23-year-old singer-songwriter from Manchester. She got loads of industry testimonials, but very prolific on the Pride scene. She's done Liverpool Pride, Manchester Pride, Chester Pride, Bolton Pride, and also she's done festival appearances at Kendal, Blackthorn Music Festival, Liverpool Pride, the Bulldog Bash, Goose Green Festival, and Manchester Rock and Bike Fest. And she's also, in 2016, was on a European tour.
Fabulous.
So, quite prolific. So, we're hoping to get hold of Jess now. How's it going, Andy?
Sorry about this.
Is it ringing?
Lovely technical problems.
Okay, is it ringing?
Normal service will be resumed as soon as possible.
Yeah,
I think we should have like a potter's wheel or something. I mean, people that are old enough will know that when something went wrong on the BBC, they used to show a potter's wheel. Was it waves crashing on a shore?
That's it. That's it. Yeah, I remember that. Or that. What was the BBC Two thing? They used to have the colour chart with the kid with the blackboard, wasn't
it?
Yes,
in the dollies.
Yeah, that's the one.
She was actually the daughter of one of the technicians. They needed a new image when they went to colour in 1967, and so they just quickly snapped a photograph of the daughter who was playing around with her little clown doll, and stuck her on the test card. That's how it came about.
Oh right, that's been there for such a long time.
And it's been there for the woman now is in her mid-60s, I believe. So, yeah.
And
she still has the clown doll,
and that's ingrained in probably everyone's memory of a certain age.
Obviously younger people won't remember, but BBC Two used to be off during most of the daytime.
It did. It was the first colour channel.
It was in 67. That's right before. Mm-hmm. ITV and BBC One went over to colour. And because BBC Two was only on in the evenings, really, there were a few schools programmes in the day, they had this test card app, didn't they?
Okay. Oh, it sounds like we've gotten, we're actually through to Jess.
Oh, fab.
Meanwhile, mandatory LGBTQ history lessons for school children have been approved by Illinois State.
Well done, Illinois. I think that's very, very necessary.
Yeah. Very progressive.
Yeah. It says rates of bullying have been found to drop when diverse stories are included in the school curriculum, according to Senator who sponsored the bill.
Bit of understanding, that's all it takes.
You see, for me personally, I don't see that as controversial or political at all. Yeah. We all live in society and we should all learn about each other.
But we're talking about Trump's America here. So
we are.
Good news.
Yes, I think that there's more good news sort of coming from the underground in America, if you like to, you know, call it the underground.
Compensation.
The alternative. Yeah.
Compensating for
right.
the...
If I go about that, factory. Jess, can I just ask, are you there, Jess?
I am, hello.
Hey!
Hello, Jess.
Hi.
Sorry about that. We got there in the end.
Don't worry,
I saw. Okay. We gave you a long introduction while we were trying to get through to you. Now, you've just been on stage. Where are you, Jess?
I'm in Manchester.
Yeah?
Just been at a... In Manchester's not playing in a venue.
Okay. How did the gig go? How do you think it went?
It was really good, yeah. It was really good, but I was conscious of time to get back to the car, ready to chat.
Bless you.
In the muddle of trying to transfer her in, she said, "I've just run from the stage to my car so that I can cool." So talk about hot off the stage for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, now, Jess, you've done quite a lot of prides from what I read. How do you find them? What are the audiences like?
Yes, so I've played a couple in the past, and I'm hoping to do a bit of a... Well, I'm ready to announce something pretty exciting this year with regards to
Pride. Oh, is this just for us, Jess, our listeners on Shoutout?
Well, yeah, you could say it is, actually, yeah.
Go on, then. We're on the edge of our seat.
Yes, it's a Pride tour, so playing Prides up and down the country all kind of together as one kind of tour, because the furthest I've ventured to play Pride is Chester, and I'm from Manchester, so it's not too far.
No.
So there's a couple of dates fully confirmed, and there's a few more that kind of are ready to go.
Good, good. So you're going to be prolific this summer then?
Yes, busy, busy with Pride. I love it though, I love playing Pride, it's great. It's like a big party.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where in the country or in fact where in the world you go to a Pride, they are fantastic and yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So after Pride, what's coming up, Jess?
So just before Pride, in the next couple of weeks, on the 18th of May, I'm releasing two brand new singles.
Are you?
One called No Shouting. Yeah.
What label's that on, Jess? What label are you on?
It's independent.
Ah, okay.
Independent, completely self-released. So they'll be available on Spotify, iTunes, and I'm also putting out a music video for one song, No Shouting, which is about my relationship. And the video is going to kind of have LGBT themes and symbols kind of running through it.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Definitely be sharing that.
So have you started making the video yet, or is this something you've got to make?
It's being shot on the 9th of May, so that's next Wednesday.
Oh, wow, how quick. So have you done videos before?
Yeah.
Are they fun?
Yeah, I love doing videos. I've got a video for my first single, it's called Stars, and that was really, really fun. That's got a really good narrative to it. I can say that because I didn't write the story for it. and then there was another one called Bundle Parks, and both of them videos are on YouTube, so feel free to check them out. And both of them got a bit of a twist at the end, so...
Now, are we likely to see you head down this way of the country at any point? Might we see you down Bristol Pride or Western Pride, or...?
Well, I'm still yet to kind of hear back from Bristol Pride, but hopefully somebody from Bristol Pride is listening.
Well, we got Darren, who runs Bristol Pride, on next week, so we'll put a mention for
you. Oh, thank you. I will be sure to resend my email, but I know it's a busy time for Pride organisers, I understand that, and to get an act on from a different city, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you
kind of know a lot about them?
Do you know how many you're doing yet this year? If you're doing a kind of tour, have you got like four or five or six booked in? Or
I've got I've got 6 confirmed.
Oh, wow, gosh, that's a lot.
Busy. Yeah, another 2 should be confirmed by next week. And then, I mean, amongst the confirmed, there's some pretty big ones. And I've got wind of kind of who's headlining them already, so it's really exciting for me as a fangirl as well to be playing on the same lineup as some of my idols.
Wow. Jess, could you send us a copy of one of your singles so we can play them on air?
Yes. The new ones?
Yes, please. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
And then we'll make sure that you go on air. Have you got a website, Jess, that people can get in touch with you and follow you?
I have. So my website is jesskemp.co.uk, and I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram.
Yeah, that's Spotify.
Spotify. Yeah.
Cool. Well, listen, I'm really sorry we had a bit of a technical issue at the beginning, but it's been lovely to talk to you. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get one of your tracks on in the next couple of weeks, if you can get it to us. That'd be brilliant. We can let the audience hear what your music sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool,
and
brilliant.
If I come down your way, I'll let you know.
Yes, do. Yeah, yes. We'd love to have you live in the studio. That would be amazing.
That would be ace. Let's make it happen.
Cool. Yeah. Well, best of luck, and nice talking to you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yes.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jess.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm curious. Fantastic. I kind of wish I had a song. I'm going to have to look it up, because it's really nice of her to like race straight off the stage.
That's really good. Yeah. I think Tara's pulled up her website, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, have you?
It's really well designed, and you can see all her forthcoming gigs on it.
And tickets are on there as well.
Yeah.
So if you're in the Northwest.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Right.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, Matthew's in the hot seat as Darren joins us to talk about all things Eurovision. I'm a bit upset I'm missing that one, actually.
Thoughts and views, please. Are we in touch? Are we in with a chance this year? What do you reckon?
Definitely.
But yeah, get in touch, studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt, or check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
But for now,
bye-bye.
That's it from myself and the team. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.